Hey, good morning, Pressmore. Welcome to church. How are you doing this morning? Good. There's still some people coming in. We're so glad to see you. My name is Caleb. I'm one of our worship pastors. It is good to be with you this morning. Hey, would you do me a favor? Would you stand? We're going to sing together. We're going to worship together. We're going to pray together. We're going to read scripture together. And we have a gift for you today. One of our dear friends in the ministry is leading worship with us today. So please help Taranda Green to feel welcome this morning. Will you welcome her?
Oh, saw darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony. From death to life, God's grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Together, sons and daughters, all with blood and washed in water, sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started.
Amen. Good morning, church family. We have four coming to testify in believers' baptism. This is Taylor Reese. Taylor, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for that enthusiasm, Taylor, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command. It brings me joy to baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This young lady is Jasmine Romero. Jasmine, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you've trusted Him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This big guy right here is Nash Thompson. Nash is the son of Willie and Amanda Thompson. Nash, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you have trusted him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen, Nash. Because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this young lady is Amelia Walsh. Amelia, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you have trusted him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen, Amelia. Because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen, amen. Let's give God praise for these. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Scott Turner, and I serve as associate pastor here. We are so happy to see you. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. And for those that are watching and worshiping online, we welcome you as well. If you are, is this your first time here at Prestonwood, or you're trying to get to know our church, do us a favor and text the word CONNECT to 74788. 74788. Connect with us. Learn about what's going on in the life and the ministry of Prestonwood. Pastor has a wonderful message for us today. I pray that your hearts are prepared. I pray that you are expecting God to do great things in you and in the life of this body. Amen. Well, we have a special thank you to all of our Prestonwood family. Thank you for giving. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for praying and allowing God to use you in the life of Prestonwood. So many great ministries and outreach and mission that we've had this summer because of the generosity of our family called Prestonwood. I'm going to pray together with you, and then we're going to have a video and begin and continue our worship. How about this worship team and our choir? Don't we thank the Lord for them? Well, let's pray together, then we'll have a short video. Father, I thank you for these, your children. Lord, we thank you that you are so gracious to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross and you shed your blood. And God, I pray today that if there's anyone, any man, woman, or child in this place today or watching online that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, this is the day of your favor. This is the day of salvation. And Father, we pray you will move mightily. Welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place. Lord, we pray you'll be with our pastor as he brings the word of God and the message you've laid on his heart. Thank you, God, for our worship team. And Lord, we pray today as we stand before you that, Lord God, you will be glorified in us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Move in a powerful way this morning. And Lord God, together as a body, as a church family, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Prestonwood, for your faithful giving during the summer months. As we close out our summertime giving, let's be sure to finish strong. As you know, the summer season has always been an incredible mission field, and your summertime giving allowed us to share the gospel near and far. We experienced an amazing summer with many lives being changed for the glory of God, all thanks to your heart and generosity. This year, our summer camps reached countless families who otherwise might not have entered our church doors. We praise God for the nearly 5,000 children who attended Adventure Week and the 318 Decisions for Christ. More than 800 children in grades 1 through 6 attended Camp Renegade in Waxahachie, with 111 making Decisions for Christ. As always, Beach Camp was a great opportunity for junior high and high school students to invite unchurched friends to the beautiful Florida coast. We had more than 1,100 beach campers and 277 made Decisions for Christ. What a blessing to witness 125 ocean baptisms and 28 students accepting the call to ministry. Thanks to the new Joe Perry Sports Complex, Prestonwood Sports Organization reached more families this summer. PSO drew 674 children to its 16 camps, with 33 making professions of faith. In total this summer, we celebrated 334 baptisms as a church family, and a little farther from home, 423 Prestonwood members served on mission in 7 countries and on 3 continents. Thanks again for your commitment to summertime giving and your passion to save lives with the transforming message of the gospel.
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we?
Until you come again,
oh, we'll sing. just wanna be with you, King of glory, fill this place. We just wanna be with you. We just wanna be with you. Sweeter name than the name of Jesus? Has there ever been a name that just calmed your soul like the name of Jesus? It could be the most hectic, most crazy day of your life, and if you can just pause and say, Jesus. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt the peace of the Lord just sweep over you and you know you can keep moving forward when you say the name of Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Oh, Master. Every mind, because I know there's peace within your presence.
I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to fade, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear. From the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Man, I'm ready to run. How about you? You know, as the old preacher used to say, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. So we are on fire here this morning. I really feel bad for people who aren't here in the room to experience this today. If you're online, we're glad you're online wherever you are. And I know it's Labor Day weekend, so we got a lot of people out. But aren't you glad you're in the room today and online as well? There is power. There is power, there is presence in the name of Jesus. And that's who we are. That's what we're all about. We are a Jesus church. And may we always be filled with Him. I'm glad that you have chosen on this Sunday before Labor Day to make Jesus first in your priorities on this weekend. And that you're taking time out not only to break from work and your regular routine, but that you are focusing on the Lord today. And Labor Day is an opportunity for us to celebrate the dignity and the opportunity of work, and to pray for one another in our calling beyond our careers, beyond our secular work, is the work that we do for the Lord on the job and everywhere else that we go. It's so important that we not only make a living, it's good to make a living and provide for our families. And this is all a part of the great dream of this country, of America. And it's certainly right out of God's word, which dignifies work and hard work and just the ability to provide for our families and for ourselves so that we can make a difference in the world. Work is a place where all of us can scatter every single day and show up with a smile full of God, contagious joy, generous love, and be a witness for Christ. Our workplace is an opportunity to be a pulpit for the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus. So I don't know what Labor Day is to you. It's a lot of things. Of course, it kind of represents the end of summer and the beginning of fall. We've got the startup of football and the startup of school going on. Maybe on Labor Day you'll have a chance to kick back and eat some good meat off the grill and just enjoy your family, have a great time, and just to enjoy your day. We are so grateful for the opportunity we have to live in this country. Amen. And to make a life as well as to make a living. In all of our working, let's make sure that we're not only making a living, but a life, and that life is in Jesus. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel chapter 9 and just hold it there for just a moment, because I do believe that this day before Labor Day is an opportunity for me, for you, to take assessment, to assess our lives, and to take a pause and frankly pray for our country, to pray for our beloved America, because we're in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. We're like Humpty Dumpty who fell off the wall from the childhood nursery rhyme. We were high on the wall, high, wide, and handsome, but we've taken a great fall. We're in a free fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put us back together again. So we're fragmented. There are pieces on the ground of America, and we've got this great division going on. And I'm deeply troubled by where we stand. Leftists have declared war on Americans, and in particular, Americans like you and me who are Bible-believing Christians. Conservative biblical values are now in the crosshairs of those who are unbelievers and worldlings, without God and without hope. And we're seeing Satan move in ways that our generation at least has not seen in the past. To the degree that in a speech this week, the President of the United States called people like you and me semi-fascists and enemies of the state. So it's not enough to say that we are intolerant or irrelevant, but now we are considered dangerous to democracy, dangerous to our fellow citizens, dangerous. These are the same people represented by this president who vigorously support abortion rights all the way up to birth and even beyond, who support gender ideology, dysphoria, and chaos, who support child mutilation, crazy ideas regarding climate extremism, a welfare state. America now, 43% of Americans are on some kind of welfare. Not work, but welfare. The Bible says if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Not talking about people who cannot work, but people who will not work. 43% are on welfare. 50% is the tipping point. When we get to 50%, and that's where we're headed, we are then a socialist state. And America will not be the America that we have known, that our parents and our grandparents worked so hard. And many of you are working so hard to build. And you can't understand what's happening in America. And oh, by the way, the intolerance of the extreme left is promoted and supported by an unfair and dishonest media every single day. Amen. And this is not a Democrat-Republican issue. It's not a even conservative liberal issue. It's not a black and white or white and people of color issue. It's not even ultimately an economic issue. It's a truth issue. What is true and what is not true? It is a worldview war that we're facing. What is worldview? How you view the world. How you see things. Here at Preston Wood, we are committed to a biblical worldview. Amen. So much that not only will we continue to do the things that we've been doing, but we're so serious about this, we have added Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, who's preaching at our North Campus today, to equip us to think Christianly, to be Christian thinkers, to be ready to give a reasonable answer for the hope that is in us, to prepare us in a world without God to be positive and fruitful witnesses for Christ. And that includes the church and the school. In case there's any misunderstanding about Jeremiah's role, it is both a church and a school. So we're training up a generation of young people in our school worldview from age 4, pre-K 4, all the way to the 12th grade to integrate the Bible and Christian thinking into everything that we do. But it's worldview. And worldview determines how we make decisions in our lives. You say, is this just going to be one of those messages where we're out there, up there, somewhere in the stratosphere? No. Worldview has to do with the way you make daily decisions, the kind of person you marry, the kind of children you raise, the kind of work that you do, the kind of person that you are. It's all about our worldview. Do we see the culture through the lens of Scripture, or do we read the culture? Do we read the scripture through the lens of culture? And there's a big difference. Do we look at what is all around us through scripture, or do we look at scripture through what is all around us? Progressive Christianity, so-called liberalism in the church, looks at scripture through the culture rather than looking at the culture through the Word of God. But it's all about worldview. And worldview answers, the questions of worldview answers the big questions of life. The most important questions you can ask yourself, the most important questions that we all need to answer. For example, the question of identity. Who am I? The question of origin. Where did I come from? The question of meaning or purpose. Where am I going? Or why am I here, rather? And then the question of destiny, which is, where am I going? Who am I? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? These are all the questions that are answered by your worldview, how you think. There are several primary worldviews. One is the Christian theistic worldview, Christian theism. Theism meaning God. Christian theism is the belief, the view, that God created everything, that He spoke and everything came into existence, that He creates every life, that every life is made by the hand of God, therefore is sanctified. It is a sanctified life, even from the womb to the tomb and beyond. Man, in our rebellion, in humanity's sin against a holy God, we broke God's commandments, but God loved the world, gave His Son. Jesus came to this earth, put His feet in the dirt. We're going to be taking time this fall, beginning in October, for a brand new message series. I'm very excited about it, called Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And we're going to look at the claims of Christ, and we're going to look at the conversations that Jesus had with people and the confrontations. We're going to talk about the counsel, the words, what He taught. And then, of course, we're going to get to the cross by Easter and the resurrection. But it's going to be a series on the person and work of Christ. It's really time here in our church, certainly here in the community in America, to really know who is this Jesus that we talk about. We sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, who is He? This is the Christian worldview. And we learn it from the Bible, which is the authoritative, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Of course, I can say so much more. Jesus went to the cross. He died. He rose again. This is the Christian theism, the worldview of the Christian. But there's another worldview, and that is deism. Deism. Deists believe that there is a God, but simply put, He is not personal. He has not chosen to reveal Himself. He's like a watchmaker that makes a watch and winds it up and then walks away. So we're on our own. God is not directly involved in our lives on earth. This is deism. Speaking of the founding of America, many of the founders of this nation were Bible-believing, evangelical, born-again believers and followers of Jesus. Don't let people rewrite history on that one.
That's right.
But there were, some want to say they were all deists. No, they weren't all deists. Some were deists. Thomas Jefferson may have been a deist, though he's all over the map with his faith. I'm reading a new biography on the faith of Thomas Jefferson, and it's very interesting, his own life. And there were some deists in America, the founders, but great revival came to America, and really, revival was born in the throes and the fires of the early revivals of this country. But deism, if Jefferson was a deist and others, is the idea that God works providentially but not personally, that the providences of God are enacted and the moral structure of the universe is governed by God, But deism does not believe in a personal God in this sense. Then there's naturalism, the worldview of naturalism. And only natural, observable causes can be accepted as true. If you are a proponent of naturalism, religion and spirituality and the supernatural in any kind is not relevant at all to your life. There's no absolute moral truth. Certainly, there's no truth that comes from God. The only truth that we can know is the truth that we can see or study and attest to. There's no objective standard for behavior. This is why many naturalists are atheistic. And if not atheistic, most would probably say we are agnostic. We don't know. We don't know if there's a God. I hate to tell them that the word agnostic in the Latin is ignoramus. We don't know. Well, what do you know? Well, we don't know. So we know what we see. We know what we feel. This is naturalism. And the idea, of course, the theory is that we all have evolved and are evolving from animals. We are naked apes, a product of natural selection, and so on. That's naturalism, and it's very, very popular in America, taught in most schools of higher education and lower as well. Then there's the worldview of nihilism. Nihilism. Again, from the Latin, nil, which means what? Zero. Zero. We believe in nothing. This is a dark and foreboding and despairing idea regarding what life is and who we are. Remember, we're answering the questions. Who am I, and where am I from, and what's the purpose of life and the meaning, and what's the destiny? Well, the nihilist says it's zero, it's nothing. As the band of the 70s, Kansas, sang it, you're nothing but dust in the wind. All you are is dust in the wind. It's nothing. Add up your life. It equals nothing. Like Solomon, who tried everything in the world to find happiness, he ends up saying, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It equals nothing. This is the nihilist or the nihilist. There's no good or evil. There's no right or wrong. There's no meaning. There's no God. There's no hope. There's no afterlife. Nihilism. And a close, ugly cousin of nihilism is existentialism, which is often adopted by progressive Christians, existentialism. And existentialists believe that the only thing that matters is what? Now. Right now. So don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about your past. It's all here and now. It's typically atheistic or agnostic as well. Jesus spoke of this idea when he said of that farmer who had it all, made it all. He said, I'll eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. Just live your life now. Live for today. And this philosophy of life is a cancerous cell in the body of America. Existentialism. And again, I say you'll find some liberal pastors and preachers and professors and teachers and ideologues and theologues teaching the existential ideas of the Bible and existential ideas of life and so on. Then there's the worldview of mysticism. As you know, I'm summarizing very quickly, or we'd be here past Labor Day. So stay with me. Mysticism. This is the view that we learned back in the 60s, the age of Aquarius. We tuned in, turned on, and dropped out. And we became fascinated with drugs, and tuning in, turning on, dropping out was the mantra of the 60s. And sex and drugs and rock and roll, and it was finding your way to Buddha or finding your way to Hindu which is Eastern mysticism. We all got excited when George Harrison, the Beatle, was singing My Sweet Lord, until we figured out he wasn't singing to My Sweet Lord Jesus, but he was singing about Eastern mysticism and psychedelic behavior and all the rest. But Eastern mysticism, you say, well, that's the 60s. No, it's now. I'm seeing it as a trend in books and writing, and you see it and hear it from celebrities, even sports athletes, and so on. And it's a new idea, and Buddhism and Hinduism is being merged into Christianity. I heard one politician say the other day that she is a Hindu Christian. And then there's Marxism. I refer you to my sermon of last year on socialism and Marxism. But this is a political system. It brings about the division and equality of wealth and gives rise to various cultural theories, including cultural racial theories, including what we now can summarize with the word wokeism. Wokeism. Again, I refer you to a message that I preached sometime this year. Go online and find it, called Are You Awake or Are You Woke? Are you woke or are you awake? But I thought today, since I've already said something about that, that I would bring Scott Turner up, and he did this in the first service, and he did so good, I said, do it again. So Scott Turner, you just met, associate pastor here at Prestonwood, I asked him to come and talk about from his viewpoint as a black man, because some right now would be thinking, well, Jack Graham is now going to bring his white racist supremacist ideas. Well, I want Scott to come up and talk to you from his perspective as a national leader in this country. I was at an event in Washington, D.C. Several weeks ago with Scott. I was tagging on his coattails. He was a rock star among the people in Washington, D.C. and many of the leaders of this nation. And he is here today, of course, and I wanted him to talk to you a little bit from his vantage point as a black man in America about wokeism. Scott.
Well, thank you, Pastor, and aren't you grateful that we can be a part of a body that talk about real life issues from a biblical perspective and have a pastor that is willing to do so? Well, Pastor and I were talking about this issue of wokeism, and there's a bigger issue here, as we all know. But when I think about this ideology that many would want to become a religion, I think about people that cast off all restraint. There is no godly conviction. There is no supreme rulership or authority coming from Christ Jesus. I can do and say and treat you however I want to without repercussion, and I dare you to say something to me. That's what I think about when I think about this current culture of wokeism, that I don't have to respect you because you're my elder, that I don't have to treat you the way that I want to be treated. Whatever is on my mind, I can say it. Whatever is in my mouth, I can say it to you without hindrance. And we know as believers that goes totally against God's word. When you cast off restraint, you have no vision. And when you look at a lot of young people today and even some older people, they're living without godly vision because they have cast off restraint. Do you bear witness with this? And many of you here may not know my background. So I played in the National Football League for 9 years. Washington, San Diego, Denver, not the Cowboys. But if they need my help, I can go back. But anyway, so I played in the National Football League, grew up here in Richardson, Texas, J.J. Pierce High School, went to the University of Illinois, played in the NFL, served in the State House here in Texas, and then I served in the former administration with Dr. Ben Carson, running the Opportunity Zone Initiative to the poverty-stricken areas of our nation. And one of my great claims to fame, other than being married to Robin for 26 years and raising Solomon, is that I worked at Spring Creek Barbecue. I grew up in a broken home, badly broken. Today it's blessed, but then it was broken. Many would say, well, you're just going to be a statistic, because many young black men that grow up in broken homes don't make it. They take on the ways of those to whom which they came out of brokenness. But God had a different plan, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, our culture today with this wokeism and more critical theory say, well, if you're black or if you're a minority or if you're a woman or if you live in a rural place or whatever it is, then you're a victim. To me, this whole culture is creating a victim mentality. And I can't find in the Bible where God says I'm a victim. As a matter of fact, if you are a lover of Jesus Christ, whether you're black or whether you're white or whether you're Hispanic or whether you're brown, you're a woman, you grew up poor, rich, if you love Jesus, you're not a victim. You are victorious in him. Yes. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:37. But again, we've gotten away from the word of God. I've been at every level of government, state, federal. And hear me when I say government is not the answer. Entertainment, celebrity is not the answer. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the answer is the Word of God. The answer is the supremacy of God in heaven. And many people look and they say, well, Scotty, you're privileged. You played in the NFL. Hear me when I say I was a seventh round draft pick. That's the last round in the draft. They tried to cut me every single year, as God is my witness. They told me that. I was not given a spot in the NFL. I had to work for a spot in the NFL. God gave me the gifting. God gave me the gift. He put people around me to train me and open up doors. And then I had to work for it and trust God to stay. I'm not a victim. I went from Spring Creek Barbecue to the NFL, to the State House, to the White House, and now to the Church House. Do I look like a victim to you? No victim. One sweet lady, one of our church members said, remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? He said, nobody will put me in. I'm a victim. But the Lord said, do you want to be healed? Yes. Take up your bed and get on. How about you today? No matter where you come from, no matter your ethnicity, your color, your situation, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are victorious in him. If you're black here this morning or a minority, you are not a victim. If you're white or Caucasian or whatever it is, you are not an oppressor according to the word of God. If you're black and you need me, I got you. If you're white, if you're a woman, if you're from rural America, tribal America, whatever it is, and you need me, I got you. The answer is not the government. The answer is the church and the people of God. Tears have no color. Struggle does not have a color. Poverty does not have a color. But life, the color is red. And that's the blood of Jesus. Do you trust him? The final word, Pastor. The final word I'll say. The word of God has got to be the final authority in our life. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then it's not true. This, the word of God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus according to the word of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So wokeism. know, I was just thinking, I feel a little bit like, don't judge me, but I feel a little bit like Donald Trump right now, in this sense. When Scott was in the administration, he'd walk into a cabinet room, and the president would see him, and he'd say, Scott, come up here and talk to him. And Scott would just do what he just did. I'm so glad that we have people like Scott who are in government, representing Christ. It's a high calling, and some of you should consider it, serving in this way, whether it's a local school board or a local office, national, state, or otherwise. You know, there are some people who say, we're gonna land this plane, I'm going to bring the rest of this message next week, because I got a lot to say. But some people say, I don't believe in mixing religion and politics. Well, I do. I do. I want men like Scott Turner in politics. Now, he's in the church now, and I don't know what the future is, but when he was doing that, God gave him a voice, and others in our church family and community, you're doing it. And even in the classroom, you know, I really feel I'm praying for our public school teachers and administrators. They're in a very demanding and difficult situation. With all the wokeism and Marxism, and teachers' unions putting pressure on them. But I tell you what needs to happen, Christian teacher, Christian educator. You need to say to your bosses, to your administrators, I'm done with this pronoun thing. I'm not going to support your pronoun ideologies. And you ought to get together. You ought to get together. You say, well, I'll lose my job. Yeah, you may. Because the goal of the leftists, is to stigmatize us and to shame us for what we believe in order to silence us. That's the goal. So what you should do, what I'm advising you to do, if you are a Christian teacher, a Christian leader, a Christian administrator in a government school, I think I'll just start calling them government schools. If you're in a government school and you're forced to stand down and to shut up, don't do it. Organize other teachers who will stand with you and other administrators, and you stand up and say, if you fire one of us, you're firing all of us. That's what you ought to do. So, you're either living for the government or you're living for God. You're either living for yourself or you're living for Christ. And Jesus is Lord. The title of this message is God's Work in a Woke World. It's the work of Jesus Christ in this woke world, in this worldview without God and without hope, that I bring a final prayer to you from the book of Daniel. That's why I asked you, say, where's the text today? Well, we're preaching this next week too, so stand by. But here it is, and the text that I have for you is a prayer from Daniel. Remember who Daniel was? He was a young man taken in bondage to Babylon. He was an Israelite, a good Jewish boy, a young man of character, most likely a teenager when he was taken to Babylon, along with others like him, sharp young men who were taken to Babylon. They were schooled in the education of the Babylonians, and yet this man, young and older, he lasted through generations. He lived into his 90s. He continued in the Lord because he was faithful to God. He courageously stood for the word of God. He was a man of prayer. He refused to bow down to the gods of Babylon. And let me remind you, basically now, church, we are a church in Babylon. It's a pagan world around us. And we will either capitulate or compromise or courageously stand. And the way to stand is first to get on our knees before God and to pray what Daniel prayed. He kept praying, even though he said, don't pray or you're going into the lion's den. This is where we get the idea. Dare to be a Daniel. And so the reason he was so courageous and bold, not capitulating, not compromising, is because of what you read here in this prayer of Daniel. Verse 8, I'm just reading part of it. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame. Open shame. That's America today. What used to hide in the shadows, now publicly, shamelessly, marches in the streets. To us, O Lord, belongs our shame. And who else? To our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. America has sinned against holy God. And we are ripe for judgment. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. God loves you. God wants to forgive you. God will change and transform any and every heart that comes to him. He says in verse 10, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws. This nation was built upon the Ten Commandments, the principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic and morality. We have broken the laws of God, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. And then verse 18. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear. There's part of me that comes to this pulpit today to say, be brave, be bold, be courageous. Yes, all that. But also, not just to be brave, but to be broken. Broken. And to weep like Jesus wept over Jerusalem. To pray with tears for our nation. Let our tears wash our eyes so that we can see the worldview of God Almighty in our generation. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness. We don't deserve it. But because of your great mercy. God's mercy. You say, why hasn't God already judged America? Well, in one sense, God may be judging America. All God has to do is take his hand off. And we are exposed to condemnation and judgment. But God's mercy. I remember hearing Dr. Adrian Rogers, one of my heroes in ministry, say, the flood tides of God's wrath are furiously beating against the dam of his mercy. That's where we are today. So we pray for mercy. O Lord, verse 19, hear, O Lord, and forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, not for our sake, but for God's sake, for Jesus' sake. Oh, my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Now listen very carefully. God is calling the people by his name, who bear his name. We bear the name of Christ. We are Christians, which means little Christ. The Spirit of Christ lives in us. God has called us to boldness and bravery. He's calling us to stand, but he's also calling us to kneel in brokenness, to look in the mirror. Let judgment begin with the house of God. If my people will pray, then God will heal our land. But it starts with you and me. It starts in our own hearts. And then we get off our knees and we speak. And we speak boldly and lovingly and compassionately. And because Jesus is Lord, not just speak from the pulpit. And not just speak to one another where we can cheer one another on. This is good. This is one reason that we gather, to get together, to know that we're not alone in this battle. That we're in this fight. That we're an army for God, for good, for Christ in our generation. It's good to gather in the barracks. But then we go. Then we go fight the good fight of faith. God doesn't want us just to sit here. I often say, you know, when you come with your worship, bring your worship with you. Just when you come into this place, you know, the worship time is not just a time to pump you up for the sermon. It's to worship God. So bring your worship with you. But I also say, when you leave, take your worship with you. Don't just sing hallelujah in here. Say hallelujah out there. Don't just sing Jesus, Jesus in the church house, but sing it at your house. Say it at your workplace, because we take it with us. Take the name of Jesus with you, because Jesus is just as much Lord on Monday as he is on Sunday. And the problem we've got in America today is we've got Sunday morning Christians who are not praying, who are not giving, who are not serving, who are not witnessing, and we're all watching our world fall apart. And for the sake of our children and our grandchildren, we always talk about that, but for the sake of the glory of our God, for our God, our Savior in his glory, may we pray. And that, why do you think Daniel was so bold? Why do you think he continued through the years? What is it to dare to be a Daniel? Is to pray like that and to ask God to show up. And we like to say, when God shows up, he shows out. And he does what only God can do. And Scott Turner, you are exactly right. The answer for America is not our educators, not our celebrities, not our athletes, not our politicians, but God. That Jesus, who is Lord of life and Lord of all, is the hope of the world. So would you bow with me in prayer? If you don't know Jesus, we say Jesus is Lord. Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life and to be your Lord and your Savior? Somebody said, well, I made Jesus my Lord. You don't make Jesus anything. He is Lord. You don't make him Lord. Jesus is Lord. Invite Jesus, who is Lord, into your life by repenting of your sins. Say, Lord, I know that I have sinned and broken your commandments. I know I'm going in the wrong direction, but I want to step out of my sin and step into faith. I want to believe and trust in you, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I trust you. Come into my life. Just ask him. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my master and my friend. Welcome, Jesus. Change my heart. I want to be born again. I want a new life. A life that comes from you and only you. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. So just simply say, Jesus, save me. I trust in you. And if you're praying that prayer, promise him that you'll live for him in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be, you know, an angel the first day. It takes some time to grow into your faith. And some people hold out because they say, you know, I don't know if I can do it. Of course you can't do it. No one can do it. This is what Christ has done for us. So just say, Lord, I can't, but you can. And I'm going to live for you by your Spirit until you come for me. And I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. I'm going to ask you to stand and profess your faith today by coming forward in this service. Come to the front here. We call it an altar. It's just a place where you can make a decision publicly for Christ. Upstairs, our ministers are going to be in the balcony for those of you seated up there. Don't let the distance keep you away from Jesus. Go to the minister standing there and profess your faith. If you're online, 747-88 is the number. text in J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. There it is again, Jesus. J-E-S-U-S to 74788. We're standing by, waiting for you to respond. And right here, I'm going to ask that you come forward. Others of you believe in Jesus. You want to belong to this church. So I'm going to ask that you come today and make that decision public. You want to be a church, be a part of a church like this, to be on mission and in ministry with us? If you believe as we believe and share our faith and our commitment to Jesus Christ and His Word, come and join us. It's your life and your family here. We want to be a part of your family as well. So, Lord, take now this time of decision. Spirit of God, move in every heart, changing lives, healing hearts and homes, breaking addictions, destroying the works of and the strongholds of the enemy in people's lives. May people be born again by the power and by the grace of you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.